Hey, gang! Welcome to the show, National Bugle Radio on the Republic Broadcasting Network, the last bastion of free speech in the entire universe. So, I'm Patrick Slattery, and some of you have probably noticed that if I start talking about 13 seconds into the show over the music, that I've pre-recorded it, maybe with Mark Collett or someone else, Mark Dankoff, and that if the music goes for about 1 minute, and just as it's going to turn around, the music turns around to go back into the lead melody, that it's usually a live show. What is it when we go past that, when we go to the very end of the music, or like today where I start singing at some random point? I don't know. You tell me. If we go all the way to the end, it might mean that I had some sort of last-minute issue. Or it might mean I just wanted to get inspired by the music. But it means something. It means something. And we are live today. We are live. So typically, if it's going to go past that 13, 14-second mark, it means we're live. That's what it means. There's a code. It's kind of like the Da Vinci Code. I guess it's a Slattery Code. So yesterday we had a great show with Mark Collett and talking about the Joker and debuting a great new song from, what's his name, Engelbert Poindexter, who's, you would think he's taller. Anyway, it was a good, fun show. Today I'm accepting callers, but not until I show for Co-Certified, because Co-Certified, it's the app that you can download onto your phone. What can you do with it? Well, there's a lot of stuff you can do with it. You can, if you're keeping kosher, you can avoid non-kosher certified foods. If you are non-kosher certified yourself and leading a NKC lifestyle, it'll help you. It'll be your guiding light through a supermarket of degeneracy. Or if you want to know who's, what advertisers are boycotting Tucker Carlson, because he's not on a free speech network. He's not on RBN. Maybe he'll come over to us at some point, because at some point he might get kicked off. But we'll see. We'll see about that. Well, you can see which advertisers have boycotted him. The better question is, what can't you do with the Co-Certified app? Because I think one thing we can do is free our people. Free our people. All right. So I am taking callers today. And the call-in number at RBN is 1-800-313-9443, 1-800-313-9443. So call me, and we'll talk about coffee and dogs and daughters. I don't drink coffee, but, you know, David Duke talks a lot about coffee. And if he calls in, we can talk about coffee. We can talk about dogs, because I like dogs. Daughters, we can talk about daughters. Mark Collett's got a daughter. We can talk about Mark Collett's daughter. So we can do that. No big whoop. In the meantime, show me the man, I'll show you the crime. Maybe that will be the title for today's show. Show me the man, I'll show you the crime. Maybe I won't show you the crime, but there's a crime. Because, oh, who was it that once said... Who was it who once said, thou who is't without sin shall cast the first stone, or something like that? Who was that anyway? I would say it's Yogi Berra, because Yogi Berra said a lot of things that were pretty smart, but I'm not sure about that one. Who is without sin? Who is without sin? Well, it's not me, and I'm pretty sure it's not you. Let's do one of these things where we raise our hands. Okay, you ready? All right. Who has, where's a good one? Have you ever recorded a NFL or Major League Baseball show? Have you ever recorded, even though there is that express warning, you need the express written consent of Major League Baseball in order to, reproduce, rebroadcast, or otherwise disseminate, this show? Well, no. If you have a VCR and you You're recorded? Okay. How many of you have downloaded how many of you have downloaded something that you didn't necessarily have the license for? Show of hands? Some of you? Okay. Here's one. Here's one. How many of you actually read the fine print of contracts you sign? I see one person back there, and I don't believe you. Okay, I don't believe you. Ralph Nader once told me to do that. I said, "Dude, I got a life, all right." No, I'm serious. Ralph Nader, we were talking in a small group. We were talking, and he was saying, "This, you got to read the small print. You got to read the fine print. And if you don't like something, you cross it out before you sign it." It's like, okay, you're a lawyer, and also you don't have a family. He's not married, never had kids. He doesn't have anything better to do than read contracts and modify them. And he knows what he's doing. I don't know. We have people call up this or other shows sometimes who know a thing or two about the law and will say something, but it's totally not practical. Okay, if you haven't taken Ralph Nader's advice and read the fine print and cross out the parts you don't like, I guarantee you. You violated that contract. You've broken the law. Well, here's something. How many of you know the tax code? How well do you really know the tax code? Okay. Because, how many of you do your own taxes? I mean, and if you're not doing your own taxes, the person who's doing your taxes, does he know everything? Okay. The odds that you have violated the tax law in some way or form, maybe even to the government's benefit. Yeah, it's happened. Take Dr. Duke for instance. What did they do? They got him on some sort of tax fraud or something, and they locked him up for a couple of years. Okay, what was his fraud? I don't know exactly what it was, but whatever it was, he overpaid his taxes, and he's got the check from the government to prove it. All right, so it's not even a matter of tax evasion. All right, it's not a matter of tax evasion. Do you know all the laws? Do you know all the withholdings and the deductions and this and that? I don't, and I do taxes. I do my own taxes. I'll do other people's taxes, but I don't know it all. Nobody does. So, show me the man, I'll show you the crime. Well, why talk about this today? Well, okay. One thing is, we've got the example of what's the guy's name? Who's got Nixon's face tattooed on his shoulder, No, Roger Rabbit, that's a cartoon character. Roger Stone. I know it's easy to get them confused. Okay, Roger Stone, who does have Nixon's picture tattooed on, like his Nixon's portrait is tattooed on his back. Roger Stone is going to go to court, and he may be going to jail for the rest of his life. For what? Who knows? For a crime you've never heard of. But show me the man, I'll show you the crime. Who said that? I don't think that was the same guy who said, "Thou who is without sin shall cast the first stone." I think it was somebody else. I think it might have been, was it the head of the KGB, Beria or Kaganovich or one of those guys? It's kind of a shady character, but it's true because we don't know the laws. There's zillions and zillions of laws. Paul Manafort. Okay. Now, Paul Manafort, he's, and Stone, they're probably sleazy people. Paul Manafort, I'm sure, I don't want to throw him under the bus, but if things I've heard about him are true, then he was a sleazy person. But I mean, what are they? He's basically in jail for the rest of his life. For what? Okay, what is it for? So what they charge him with is failing to register as a foreign agent. Okay, as if Chuck, the guardian of Israel, Schumer, is not a foreign agent. Has he registered? I don't think so. Everybody works at the ADL. The ADL should be registered. In fact, the predecessor of the ADL, I think Kennedy was the Kennedy, was it the Kennedy? Somebody out there knows better than I do, but I think it was the Kennedy White House that was trying to get the, well, it wasn't the Zionist Organization of America, was it? It was one of these Zionist organizations, the forerunner of the ADL, not the ADL, the forerunner of the AIPAC, the forerunner of AIPAC to register as a foreign lobby. No, they don't register. But Paul Manafort, he did some work for the president of the Ukraine. I think he, it, but that, I think it's some work he did for the government of Turkey. He didn't register as a foreign agent. Also, he had a bank account. He had a bank account in a foreign country and apparently hadn't registered that with the IRS. Well, you know, how many of these foreigners, immigrants, illegal aliens, whatnot? I mean, we know that they are sending megabucks back to their home countries, right? So apparently they've got foreign bank accounts. Do you think they're registered with the IRS? I don't think so. So show me the man, I'll show you the crime. Okay, why bring this up? Okay, well, Donald Trump, he's facing impeachment proceedings. And do you think that they're not going to be able to find some sort of crime that he's violated? All right. Now, what they're going after him is this quid pro quo phone call with the president of the Ukraine. And frankly, I mean, I don't see anything illegal with it. But I'm sure there is some sort of, dare I say it? Well, I won't say it. I won't say it. I will say European style socialist lawyer out there. There's some European style socialist lawyer out there who is going to use European style socialist Talmudic interpretations in order to say, well, actually, Donald Trump did violate this law. So the phone call, I mean, okay, Donald Trump, we know he ran for president on a platform of improving relations with Russia. And the foreign policy is supposed to be the purview of the US president, but Congress, in its infinite wisdom, appropriated funds to be used in a proxy war against Russia. So Donald Trump, he's elected saying, well, let's get along with Russia. I think we could get along with Russia. Why not? Well, would that be such a bad thing? And then Congress says, no, we've got to send weapons to a basically Zionist puppet government in Ukraine in order to fight a proxy war against Russia. And Donald Trump, well, did the funds get sent? Yes, they did get sent. They got sent. Were they delayed? Many me says they were delayed. I don't know. They might have been delayed by a little bit. He had a phone call. And in the phone call, he asked the new president of the Ukraine, to investigate crimes committed by Americans. Is that so wrong? And well, because it was Joe Biden, and Joe Biden is a potential, or people associated with Joe Biden. So notice that nobody's really making the case that Joe Biden and Hunter Biden didn't commit crimes, that they didn't, that there's nothing there to investigate. There's a lot more there to investigate than there was over the whole Russia hacked the voting machines in Wisconsin and Michigan and Pennsylvania. So, and that got investigated, and that was ridiculous. So they're going to do this. And I know I've said on the air before, well, presidents routinely don't spend money that's appropriated. And I remember that from teaching about the US presidency. Well, I've gone back and looked at it, and actually, you know, Jefferson, Thomas Jefferson famously did not spend $50,000 on warships that had been appropriated, I guess, for the Mississippi River, because, well, guess what? We bought the other side of the Mississippi River. We own the whole thing now, and we don't actually need those warships, right? We actually own the Mississippi River now, and we don't have to worry, and we own New Orleans, and we don't have to worry about people sailing up, so we don't need those. It became kind of a thing, but no, he didn't buy the boats. And I guess Richard Nixon, who wasn't always the most popular president and was a president at a time when the opposition Democrats had they still had very significant control over the both houses of Congress. Nixon wasn't spending money that was appropriated. The EPA, Environmental Protection Agency, had been established by Congress at the behest of Ralph Nader, who suggests, by the way, that you read all your contracts, read the fine print, and cross out the parts that you don't like. But that same Ralph Nader had started a movement, got Congress to establish the EPA, which was a good thing. Nixon wasn't all the way on board with it, and didn't spend money that was appropriated towards the EPA. And so Congress, they fought back by establishing this, what was it called, Impoundment Act, which makes it more difficult for presidents not to spend money that Congress has appropriated. And I think in the past I said they don't have to spend the money. And so I was incorrect because of that 19 what 73 Impoundment Act. I think it was 73. Now all the presidents since then have complained about the Impoundment Act, and you can be sure that there were funds that weren't spent, but these weren't presidents who were really facing impeachment. Maybe Clinton, but there. So that will probably become a thing that they're going to talk about. But the thing is, he did spend the money, so it really shouldn't be a thing. But the whole idea of holding up the aid, this military aid that we shouldn't be spending anyway. But Congress is hell-bent on war with Russia. The Democrats are hell-bent on war with Russia, even if they don't understand it. But everything they're doing, it's like, oh, we have to sanction them. Oh, we've got to we have to deploy nuclear weapons on their border. Oh, we've got to take Ukraine and Georgia and incorporate them into NATO. Oh, we've got to fight proxy wars against Russian troops. We've got to kill Russians, Hillary Clinton saying, yes, we've got to enforce a no-fly zone over Syria, even if it means shooting down Russian planes. And Bernie Sanders telling Bill O'Reilly, yes, we need to expand sanctions against Russia and seize Russian assets everywhere. Wow. So that's the thing. So basically, I mean, one way of looking at the impeachment inquiry that we're having, one way of looking at it is it's Congress that is trying to enforce World War III on Donald Trump, who isn't quite so sure it's a good idea. And I don't really think it's a good idea. I don't think having a nuclear war against Russia is a good idea. But when you get down to it, this is it. What was the Mueller probe about? It was about Russia. This is about the hatred of Russians, the racial hatred of Russians by. We'll be right back.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now, but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting? network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
Folks, this is very important information. What's to be said about CBD? AncientLifeOil.com. Our CBD is made from hemp and has 0.003 THC, which means this wonderful product won't get you high, no matter what amount you take. What does CBD do for the body? My hands are tied, but you can Google CBD benefits and be astounded. When you're finished reading, you'll want to log on to AncientLifeOil.com. That's AncientLifeOil.com and purchase. Life is good when you feel good. People are tired of pain. People are asking for non-GMO organic products to help them with, you fill in the blank. Legal in 49 states, and again, our CBD is made from hemp. Ancient Life Oil is about helping people, one by one by one. If you wonder how good the product is, the CEO takes it every day, without miss. AncientLifeOil.com. That's AncientLifeOil.com. Have a great day.
Oh, I don't really know the words, but it's something like that. It's a good song. Good song. And good musicians playing it, too. Very nice rendition. Well, imagine our shock. Extremely disturbing. This is a headline from NBC News. Top Democrats alarmed over Vindman's testimony on Trump-Ukraine call. Okay, so Lieutenant Colonel Alexander Vindman, the top Ukraine expert on the National Security Council, was set to testify. He was on the July phone call between Trump and Ukraine's leader. Okay. Vindman, appearing voluntarily under congressional subpoena, was set to tell members of Congress conducting an impeachment inquiry of President Trump that he was on the phone call between Trump and Ukraine's leader, in which Trump asked for an investigation into the Bidens. And, you know, there's good reason for that. Vindman considered Trump's request that Ukraine investigate his political rivals so damaging to American national security that he reported it to his superior. Okay. All right. So Debbie Wasserman Schultz. Oh, God! Debbie Wasserman Schultz, a member of the House Oversight Committee, who was And a very weird person, by the way, but we'll get into that some other time, who was present for the deposition, told NBC News that Vindman was very credible, a very credible witness, and said his testimony corroborated the testimony of other witnesses that really drew a direct line to the president and those around him and their interest in withholding foreign aid through Ukraine that was vital, as well as insisting on investigations into the Biden. Okay, so this is kind of interesting. All right, so we've got, do we have here? All right, so we've got Lieutenant Colonel, these are people involved in this story, Lieutenant Colonel Alexander Vindman. All right, who else are we talking about? We're talking about Debbie Wasserman Schultz. Who else are we talking about? We're talking about the president of the Ukraine, Zelensky, Who else are we talking about? Well, guess what? They're all European-style socialists. You know, the guy who used to be the senator from Minnesota, who was on Saturday Night Live, you know who I'm talking about, Al Franken. Senator Al Franken. Senator Al Franken once wrote a book saying, well, a Jew's never going to be elected president because the only way you can be elected president is through military experience. And in his research, the highest ranking Jew in the military was somebody in the Coast Guard, which was a stupid thing to say. But what do you expect from Al Franken? Guess what? Because you really, I mean, honestly, I think there are more American Jews in the Israeli military than in the American military. I could be wrong. I could be wrong, but I think that's the case. Anyway, so who is this Lieutenant Colonel Alexander Vindman, born in 1975, is a U.S. United States Army officer, a Lieutenant Colonel. Vindman became an Army Foreign Area Officer specializing in Eurasia. He joined the National Security Council staff as Director for European Affairs in 2018. Who is he? Alexander Vindman and his twin brother Yevgeny were born in Ukraine, then part of the Soviet Union, to a Jewish family. Okay, so here's the thing. I mean, Trump, he's talking to the Jewish president of the Ukraine, and then he's got some Jew on the phone listening in on his conversation. What's wrong with this? Okay, and then you've got these Jews in Congress, Debbie Wasserman Schultz, and Shifty Adam Schiff and Gerald Nadler and Elliot Engel, and of course in the Senate you got Chuck Schumer, and this is a giant Jewish conspiracy. What else can we make of it? I mean, everybody involved in this, they're Jews. And then you've got NBC, and so I read this from NBC News, okay? NBC, Andy Lack, who was the head of NBC News, Andy Lack. And, who's the other guy who's like the head of the parent company? They're all Jews. This is a Jew d'etat, all right? Or maybe I should call it a European-style socialist coup d'etat, okay? There is this intense paranoia. And first of all, there is an ethnic hatred of the Russians by this guy. He was born in the Soviet Union, all right? And somebody born in the Soviet Union and then born in the Ukraine, and then you're going to have him listening in on well, it's okay because you're Jews. This makes absolutely no sense. Why don't we have our own people who are managing our foreign policy? But we don't. All right, this is a call-in show, and you ought to call in. Certainly William ought to call in if he's listening. Maybe he's otherwise disposed. 1-800-313-9443. 1-800-313-9443. George from Greece. Call in. We'll talk.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll-free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
It happens more often than we can imagine. In my case, I was sitting at home, and out of nowhere, I just started feeling uncomfortable. Then it got worse, and I started perspiring. I tried to ignore it, but I waited too long. The chest pain came as we were driving to the hospital emergency. I felt my life clock begin to tick. I barely survived. There was lots of damage done to my heart. What do I do now? I was lucky. I took a leap of faith and tried a 7-herb formula with hawthorn, garlic, cayenne, and more called Extendivite. Herbs have been used for thousands of years to keep us healthy. If you're not using Extendivite as a preventative supplement, maybe it's time to start. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Tired of being lied to by mass media? It's growing more and more apparent today that news is received less and less through standard media outlets. Even with a growing audience every day, RBN is beginning to direct more efforts into social media. Social media and the use of the internet is fast becoming the primary source of people for news, regardless of demographic. RBN has set out to provide some of the best news on the internet through republicbroadcasting.org and also has begun to use the tools to our advantage by way of social media. Republic Broadcasting is now operating a Facebook page to function as yet another avenue to have our collective voice reach new audiences across not only America, but across the globe as well. The Facebook page features not only news, but also an RBN player to listen to our broadcast. Get involved by visiting facebook.com/republicbroadcasting and liking our page and share it with your friends and family, because you can handle the truth.
Welcome back to the show, National Bugle Radio on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Okay, I put out the call for callers, and my loyal RBN audience has responded. First up, Mike from Kentucky. Mike, welcome to the show.
Well, I heard you say you otter call in. My ex-wife used to call me an otter because I kind of float on my back between jobs a lot. So, you know, I feel like I otter call in.
Otters are very cool animals.
I know. I'm just being a little punny there. So, you know, I don't know. When does organized crime end and government begin, or vice versa? Where does the government end?
Well, you know, I don't mean to be mean, but who is it that says that Judaism is not so much a religion as a criminal syndicate? And I don't mean to be mean like this, but you
look
at it. Well,
there's one token movie, I think, about it called, what is it, An American Story?
Oh, yeah?
It's about the Jewish organized crime family. It was in New York. I think there's only one movie. You know, you get all kinds
what
of
about
movies
Bugsy?
About the Italian
is
mafia, it... the Russian mafia, the whatever mafia.
Well, you know, they make movies. What about Bugsy? Wasn't Bugsy like about the Jews who created Las Vegas?
No, well, maybe. I guess it's been too long since I've seen that, and maybe I didn't pick up on the clue.
I never saw it, so I don't know.
Warren Beatty.
Warren Beatty was in it, yeah, for sure. Charlotte McLean's little brother. And then you got The Wolf of Wall Street, which you're not allowed to know that he was like a Jewish criminal. Yeah, they get... Leonardo DiCaprio, a nice good-looking goy, to play the part, and the name of the person involved wasn't particularly Jewish sounding, but he was a Jew.
You know who Brandon O'Connell is?
I've heard the name many times. He's an Australian investigative journalist, something like that.
Well, he self-exiled or something to Kuala Lumpur, and I'm hearing a very long delay or lag time in our communications here. You're familiar with the broken windows economy. I think they're breaking our communication systems to try to get us all to jump on the 5G bandwagon and demand that we destroy our ozone layer and launch 75,000 satellites in the next 10 years or something crazy. So the broken windows economy, I think, is fomented by the Jews. Brandon O'Connell has a video out I saw on Brighteon, Mike Adams' platform for videos, alternative to YouTube. And he has got a really spooky video by he can't form a coalition, Netanyahu.
Oh, right.
He's got this like he's speaking at some kind of stockholders meeting or something. That's what it, you know, the impression I got. I don't know where. I got to go back and find it and watch it again, but he slows down part of the video and repeats some of the phrases he says about being a force multiplier and how they're dominating the tech sector, and they're definitely in the top five of the world, and I would argue that we're in the top three, you know, in the world for the tech sector.
I've seen that speech.
All right. Well, I've been talking about this for nearly 20 years because, especially after I found out about the NARIS devices and that NARIS was sold to Boeing. If you want to blackmail, do insider trading and all that sort of stuff, what could you do if you're able to spy in on people's hot mic devices like these Alexis? But you go back into the 90s, this was on. The Snowden Advanced Network catalog showed how these hot mic phones, software-defined radios. And I had a military person come forward after I started going public about it because the stuff I was experiencing, the phone technicians couldn't fix. And like I said, it goes back into the mid-90s. So that's why a lot of these people got retroactive immunity post-Patriot Act. And of course, people that wouldn't go along with it get prosecuted or set up for something like Ignacio from Quest. He said, "Oh, I gotta consult with the legal department. I can't just hand up all over our customer data, can I? Legally, violation of contract, da da da." And so they waited a little while and caught him doing a stock move and canceled a government contract is what it sounds like, and then made it look like he had insider trading. It took him about 6 or 8 years to get out from underneath of that, and he ended up on the book circuit for a while. If you know about, I think his name's James Ignacio. He was the only phone company that did not just, you know, roll over and just hand over all our customer data, you know. And that was in January of 2001, pre-Patriot Act. Mm-hmm. So, you know, they're stage setting this matrix that they've built for us to be shadow banned and set up as fly traps. You know, everything we do on the phone and internet and everything, all these interactions basically is profiling us and a fly trap. And the Talpiot tech sector domination program that they set up in the late 70s has got Israel all intertwined into every bit of it.
Yeah, I mean, you see this stuff. Even you remember the Carl Cameron reports on Britt Hume's show in the wake of 9/11, and one of those special reports he did was on all of the Israeli, domination of credit card billing and all sorts of things. And I know that they're also big and this is kind of scary in a different way. Medical billing, medical records, they're really big in that.
I have to wonder about all these hostage situations where they're holding cities like Allentown, Pennsylvania. I actually was wanting to do a spoof of Billy Joel's song about Allentown and make it about their malware because, you know, they have to pay out something crazy like $250,000 a year to supposedly protect from that. That's a heck of an extortion racket, isn't it? You go in, you hold the city's files or hospital's files hostage for malware, Bitcoin, or something like that. You're the one that hired the hacker, and you come in and offer the solution. It's the broken windows economy.
You know something? Benjamin Fulford, who I've had on the show a few times, he had been a reporter for Forbes magazine. He was like their Asian bureau chief, you know, very establishment. He was very establishment. He wasn't into conspiracies or anything like this. So this was 20 years ago or whatever. And he found out that he went down to the Philippines and found out that this one company that was offering like virus computer virus software to protect against virus was actually creating viruses itself. It shouldn't be a big surprise, but because the company was an advertiser in Forbes magazine, his editor, you know, the editor in chief, squashed his story, and this was one of the things that got him, looking into ulterior motives for things.
Well, one of those four-part series of Carl Cameron's piece there, and you can find it all in one file for it's like 30 minutes out there. People have spliced it together. But that was one of the first videos that I got banned from posting on YouTube, and it was less than 3 hours. Content recognition pulled it down, but there was about maybe 11 or 12 other accounts that had the same video up. I just loaded up one piece where they said, some anonymous FBI guy that was probably afraid of assuming room temperature prematurely said, I can't tell you about the connections of these Israelis in 9/11. It's classified information. So I found that on Mike Rivera's webpage and uploaded it about 2006 or so, maybe 2007, after I'd let my account set idle for a long time. So it was the first video I uploaded, but I knew then that they had some really quick, fast content recognition, voice recognition software back then to catch that and flag it to be pulled down. I went back to check about 3 hours after I uploaded to see how many views I had, and it was gone. I had a first strike, for a copyright violation. But now, in one of those segments, there's an organized crime ring that was spying in on the police's phones and pagers so that they could stay ahead of the cops in Southern California. So, that is one example of how we barely hear about this stuff. And, of course, I think that news segment only aired maybe once or twice over the course of a week, and it was gone. And for years, the only way you could get it was an archive company in New Jersey would charge you $500 if you were like a college professor and you wanted to show that in your classroom. The content was really sewn up for a while. It's only because I think somebody had a VCR and recorded it that it ended up on the web, and Mike Rivera had a copy of it on his webpage. But, it's just ridiculous, the media control. Your files can be altered. They can screw with you some. Well, Chuckie Schumer said it. You mess with the intelligence community, they can mess with you six ways from Sunday. And so we just got to get the word out, and maybe we can crash the tech sector economy again. And that would hurt them in the pocket enough to where people would start wising up and stop being sucked into these voluntary ankle bracelets, as I call them, hashtag voluntary ankle bracelets. Hashtag constructive fraud that is the Internet. Facilitating the inner five-year-old. Those are ways you can find some of my stories on this. Facilitating the inner five-year-old.
That sounds interesting. Here's one of my questions. I understand that the new iPhones, and often old iPhones too, the batteries drain much faster than they're supposed to.
Why?
Well, I have a guess, but let's
okay,
hear.
Okay, go ahead.
I think you're going to confirm my guess. If they are secretly or stealthily, recording what you're saying with their hot mic or other things, and then sending it off to a central database, that would require some battery usage. Is something like that?
Do you have callers? I don't want to take your whole show, but do you have another caller behind me waiting?
I have one other caller behind you. Yeah.
Well, real quick, I was in a Radio Shack in about 2007 or 8, and I already knew about that stuff, because of Mark Klein. And I overheard the sales girls talking back and forth. I don't understand why this guy's battery keeps overheating. We swapped out his phone, his battery, his SIM chip, and it's not working, and it's not overheating on anybody else's phone. And I just walked up to him. I said, if that guy's involved in some kind of activity that the government's watching, when he gets home from somewhere he doesn't have signal, it's uploading all the files of what he is doing and, his audio files or whatever while it's trying to charge. So you need to give him two batteries to leave at home, leave a charged one at home, and when he puts it on the charge base, it'll be charged and it can upload the files. And I told him this because I don't think I didn't think it was right. that they're doing this stuff in total violation of Fourth Amendment, and they don't even need warrants. You know, they don't care. Secret interpretation of secret law and secret courts, and I don't even think they bother with warrants and if they're not going to take somebody to court over it. I mean, if they're involved in nefarious activity themselves, they may be tracking these drug dealers and stuff like that, so they can rob them, or, you know, any number of corruption ideas that you can come up with. So I don't know where government ends and organized crime begins anymore. The Hosea has an interesting line: make a chain for the land is full of bloody crimes. We just need to make sure we're not caught chained up with them. Talk to you later.
Hey, thank you for your call, Mike. Okay, next we go to Dan in Washington. Dan, thank you for calling.
Hey, thanks for taking the call, Patrick. Hopefully my phone signal doesn't fade.
Yeah.
Anyway, I appreciate you bringing up the Sierra Club a few weeks ago, because that actually was when I started to wake up, when the Sierra Club had that donor that didn't want them to be against immigration. But during that same time period, I actually went to a Ralph Nader concert with my mom, or a rally or whatever in Seattle, and they
had a big rally out there. I remember that. That would have been, what, 2004 or 2008? What was it?
Maybe 2008. It might have been.
2000, he had some big rallies. He had some very big rallies.
Yeah, it was a while ago. It was like,
and when you had to pay to get in. Yeah. It wasn't like Trump's rallies, which are free. You had to pay to get into Nader's rallies, and it still filled the place up.
Yeah, and he had Pearl Jam was there, you know, trying to make it all cool and hip with this whole Seattle scene. And
yeah, probably 2000 then.
I just, what do you think about Ralph Nader? Because I went with my mom, but I was already kind of waking up to, like, why is this guy against not stopping immigration? Because I could just, common sense-wise, it's bad for the environment. It's bad for poor people's wages. You know, and I just, is he controlled opposition? Because I saw there's an interview on NBC News where basically him and George Bush and I think John Kerry are all part of the Skull and Crossbones Society.
Well, they're all from Yale. I don't know if he was Skull and Crossbones or not, but he is from Yale. That's right. And, of course, Bush and Nader are both from Connecticut, and Kerry's from Massachusetts, Yale's nearby. My understanding, as my recollection, was in the year 2000, when Nader had his biggest electoral success, immigration wasn't really a very big issue. I know that the Green Party, he was running under the Green Party banner, and then in 2004, the Green Party refused to endorse his presidential bid, and in fact nominated somebody else, in large part because of two things. Well, I mean, one, they just didn't like getting blamed for George Bush. But in 2000, Nader had said, regarding immigration, he said, any country without a borders isn't a country. You have to have borders. Now, immigration wasn't a huge issue, and so I don't know all the details of his immigration policy, and even if he went into it much, but he was certainly not open borders. And the other thing he said that disqualified him from the Green Party in 2004 was, he, you know, regarding, like, the gay stuff, he says he wasn't going to engage in what he called gonadal politics. So saying that a country needed to have borders and that he wasn't going to engage in gonadal politics set the Green Party against him.
That's when they had what's her name take over, right? That Stein.
Stein has been 2012 and 2016. So 2004, they had a guy named David Cobb, who seemed like a decent guy, but he was kind of a nobody. Nobody knew who he was. And he was like just a party activist from California. And then 2008, they had Cynthia McKinney, who was relatively, you know, former U.S. House of Representatives member, 12 years in the House, and relatively woke on the, you know, Israeli and Jewish issues. But she had, right, like, a completely insane running mate, some black Puerto Rican rapper from New York who was very foul-mouthed and called for the abolition of prisons and insane stuff like that. But yeah, they've had Jill Stein take over. Jill Stein, under Jill Stein, the Green Party has watered down its some of its positions. Its anti-Israeli positions have been watered down. The Green Party was interesting because the Green Party had two wings to it. It had a rural wing and an urban wing. And the rural wing, for instance, was very pro-Second Amendment because they were rural people. You know, they were organic farmers, but still, organic farmers are out there, and a lot of them like their guns.
Right.
And so the Green Party, I don't know what their platform is now, but back in, say, 2004, 2008, they had a pro-Second Amendment platform.
They were probably a lot more common sense when they started, like you're saying, in the late 90s and the 2000s, and then they got more and more kosher certified, I'm sure, you know. And
yeah,
I always wonder, because I heard him during the election and he's talking about xenophobia and you know, it just seems like he's
yeah,
at least now he's supporting Bernie and kind of like, I don't know, he just at least lately, I haven't really liked
Nader. I've been disappointed with him. I've been disappointed because he, when was it? I'm looking right now at my bookshelf, and he has a book, Big Yellow Book. It's actually a novel. Ralph Nader, Only the Super Rich Can Save Us. I've got my autographed copy there, and it's maybe from 10 years ago. Okay, well, you know, and it's some imaginary situation where Bill Gates and Warren Buffett and Yoko Ono and who knows who else, they get together and they decide on a way forward. Well, guess what? We get a super rich guy. We get Donald Trump, who is kind of, he's rich enough that he didn't have to depend, he didn't have to dial for dollars. That was a Ralph Nader phrase. They're all dialing for the same dollars. So he didn't have to dial for dollars. He had a good populist message, and you know, Ralph Nader had been talking about political realignment, saying that the left and right should be able to come together on a lot of things. Well, this is what Donald Trump was trying to do, you know, and he's been pretty much a failure, but he would have had a lot bigger chance of success if people like Ralph Nader had come out and said, hey, you know, I might not agree with this or that, but you know, let's try to work on these things that we do agree on. And he didn't do that.
He doesn't bring up tariffs either much, because I'm kind of big on the tariff issue.
Okay, unfortunately, you're breaking up a bit. I didn't hear what you're saying. Unfortunately, we seem to have lost Dan from Washington. If we get him back, that would be great. But it's a big disappointment. The very, very few people on the so-called left. Are you there, Dan?
Yeah, can you hear me?
Yeah, okay, so we missed the last thing you said.
Oh, sorry about that. Okay, I'm getting big on the tariff issue. Because a lot of people on this, Mike Rivera, I called him and I said, you can't really be against the New World Order and be for free trade. You know, it's pointless, because that's half of the New World Order is free trade, you know. And in my view, you know, tariffs, if you put a 10% tariff on imports, it would kill the whole New World Order thing. And a lot of the stuff Ralph Nader talks about would be helped with tariffs and bringing jobs back, but he doesn't talk about that, you know. And it's like he just has an endless list of corporate corruption and, you know, greed, all these kind of vague ideas, but not really much concrete to fix it, you know what I mean?
It's a shame. I haven't talked to him for 10 years, and I didn't know him all that well. But I, you know, I met him a handful of times and was able to talk to him and things like that. And he seems like a real decent person. And of course, by now he's well into his 80s. And I don't know. It's just, it's disappointing because had some people like him from the tradition, not the traditional left so much, but the kind of the marginal left, come out and cooperated with Donald Trump on their significant areas of mutual concern, it could have been a complete game changer. But instead, Donald Trump felt like, you know, he was under siege from everywhere, and maybe if he made nice with the Republican establishment, aka neocons, that he would be able to govern. And you know, he hasn't been able to govern. Dennis Kucinich had a few nice things to say about him. And of course, Tulsi Gabbard was probably the only person who actually went and met him. And apparently she was under consideration for some sort of cabinet post, but nobody else, nobody else. And the Green Party, Jill Stein and David Cobb, the 2004 nominee, they had a very disgraceful, understandable, but disgraceful role in starting that whole Russia hoax thing. Because Jill Stein had, as a balloted candidate in those three states, Wisconsin, Pennsylvania, and Michigan, had standing, and she could call for a recount. And she called for a recount based on concerns about Russian hacking. And she did that because she could then set up some sort of legal fund, which got millions and millions of dollars from Hillary supporters, thinking that that would overturn the election. Of course, Jill Stein and David Cobb and the other Green Party people, they just wanted the money to for their own ballot access and their own devices, and also because they hated the Democrats for having destroyed some of their people financially. So I can understand why they did it, but it did get that whole Russia hoax ball rolling, and I think that's forever to their discredit.
I agree, and it just... Because they were, by then they'd moved so far on the immigration issue too. I mean, Donald Trump was just so evil in their eyes because he said secure the border and was politically incorrect. You know,
there
that
was
basically the big
in the 2000s. You know? I know up until 2008 there was an anti-immigrant wing of the Green Party, and I guess they lost out. But they have they were having very fierce debates. Okay. I think we are hearing our bugle call. Thank you, Dan, and thank you, Mike, and I'll be back again tomorrow with another exciting episode, a Patrick and Jeremy episode of National Bugle Radio.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.